times when you look at things like Confucius and some of those Eastern philosophers and stuff like that. That looks so much that is going to pass down into their own education. And then so much of the history we have is because
Yeah.
Here we are.
Welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. Joe is amazing as always, doing well. He's churning today, he said. He's churning. And
that is the most positive spin I could put on what's going on right now is churn. I could say swill or flush, but it's churn.
Churning. We're chumming the waters for later. That's what it is. Oh, that's good. But no, we were chatting about a couple different things. And but I think the one thing that's on everybody's mind, and I don't know, I don't do a ton of like gossip TV, but everyone is stinking talking about Johnny Depp winning the case against Amber Heard. Did you sneak even a peek at that? I know that's not your wheelhouse at all.
It was I looked, threw up in my mouth a little, and bugged out. Yeah.
Like, I kept going, like, why do we care about this? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, regardless of whether you think it was a good verdict or bad verdict, like, just watching it, I'm like, these are two broken people in Hollywood that have gone through, like, why do I care how this turns out? Like, but man, the news ran it around the clock. And my brain always goes to, like, what are they not telling me? Well, they're running this crap around the clock. Like, what's going on behind the scenes here?
Yeah, that's, you know, the tame stuff.
Right.
Right. We could make a after school special about all of the excerpts about not how to not live your life and how not to be crazy. Right. Just from one trial.
Exactly. Yeah. And every time they opened their mouth, I was like, oh,
yeah, that was in your real life, or so, we make, is this a show?
Yeah,
this is a show.
It's bad. It's like not the Truman Show. It's just one of those things that they're the Hunger Games, you know, it's just a show to distract us from what's going on. So, but yeah, so one of the things that you mentioned, and it was honestly, it was in my you know, purview to kind of hit one of these episodes, but we have been doing some spring cleaning at our house, and we've gone through, and I'm getting better at pitching stuff and throwing stuff away. And you were mentioning, you know, being a minimalist versus the missus who likes her room with stuff in it, and the flea markets and all of that. So I want to talk about that.
Okay.
My sister-in-law is certainly a minimalist. She came to stay with us for 2 weeks, and she was just like, I can't take this. There's like, there should be nothing on the kitchen counters. Like, everything should be clean and all that. And I'm like, yeah, but I use that every day, or I use that twice a week, so it's going to stay out on the counter. And, but then, you know, well, I use that once a week, and I use, you know, you start looking at that, and then you get into this stuff, and I don't mind the usability side of things, but I do kind of like the feel of the magazine picture of the minimalist house or the minimalist closet or whatever. But when it comes down to it, I'm not a minimalist. And so what are the advantages of, you know, there's that book, you know, everything's about finding your joy. Does that thing bring you joy? If it doesn't, throw it out.
Right.
And everybody was on that kick for a while. But I know that you are very much into, and people are starting to do their spring cleaning and starting to go through stuff. So talk a little bit about Joe's minimalist. Where does that come from for you? And then are you pitching stuff right now?
So computers have lots of, you know, things get antiquated in computers pretty fast. But me, I like to like hang on to something for a little while in the computer world in case somebody asks me, like, hey, do you have an old floppy drive from a blah, blah, blah? And I can say, yep, I have it right here. And so I had this.
Still have my floppy drives with all of my college essays on them.
Oh my goodness. Driving me crazy. Brain is hurting. So I had to adopt some kind of philosophy about what I would save and what I would keep. And so I give myself the ability to keep some stuff that's a little bit older just in case. But that kind of thought really goes down the rabbit hole, because in your brain invents things that you're going to need this one day and whatever. So my brand new philosophy, I got three little things that I do here.
Okay.
Number one, if I haven't used it within a year, it's gone. Like 100%.
Right? Heard you say that before. Yeah.
Number two, if I can't remember when the last time I used it, I put it in a box and put the date on it. And if I haven't opened the box in a year, the whole box just goes away. And I don't have to individualize what was in there. It's a burn if haven't been opened by X, you know, X amount of date. And then the third thing is that if it's available to be purchased today, I would rather get rid of it, even if it's within the last month or so. I would rather not have it and know that I could go order it or sell it or give it to somebody so that it just leaves me. I mean, so the trail of going from 5 years worth of stuff down to 1 year's worth of stuff and maybe down to 3 months worth of stuff. I mean, if you really don't use it in that time frame, you know, aside from things like decorations for a holiday that haven't come up, I mean, that would be pretty bad to have to rebuy that stuff, but regular everyday stuff.
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. And, you know, we were going through our garage the other day and we were like, found something. We're like, what is this? And then we had to like, you know, oh yeah, we used that. Remember 5 years ago, you know, and you start looking at stuff like that. Now, some of it too, you have good stuff that you've gotten and you used one time and other people may use it. You know, obviously, the pay it forward boxes do particularly food for the most part, but you know, I love throwing those up on social media for free and saying, hey, if you want it, like we have two bikes right now. You know, at the end of the day, they need a little TLC, but somebody could take them, fill up the tires with air, you know, put a little grease on the chain and have a brand new bike. I'm like, I don't need any money for it. Just like, I don't want it. Like, it's been sitting here collecting dust. I don't need it.
Right.
But you being a tech guy, you have to have a closet or a box full of cables from all. So my father-in-law, when he passed, we found under his bed, like these two baskets full of cables from like 1983, like any cable you could possibly need, Joe, he had under there. We went through and we found chargers for phones that didn't exist anymore and all that. And it's just funny because I find myself in the same spot. Like as a guy, one of the things that I value, so I'll keep stuff like that so that the one time someone's like, hey, you know, my charger broke or, you know, I can't get this to work, I want to be like, I have that cable. Like I want to supply that need. And I do it with one other thing that's kind of weird. I collect shampoo when I travel and like soap from the hotels. And I had at one point two Ziploc bags, like gallon bags full of all the little trinkety soaps that you get at different restaurants or different hotels. And my wife went on a cleaning binge and she threw out my bag.
Yes. It
was like during the end of COVID. So I hadn't really traveled a bunch and she was like, I'm just going to get this clean. And then sure enough, like within a couple months, I had to go travel somewhere where I was staying at a place that was not a hotel. And I was like, oh, where's my soap? I'm going looking for shampoo, conditioner, and body wash out of this little thing. And she goes, oh, I threw that out months ago. And I was like, I collect that soap. That's how, you know, I put this whole thing. And it was so funny. So coming back from Israel, I collected the soap at the couple of hotels that we stayed at. And she's like, are you starting another soap collection? I'm like, I am. But this is fresh soap. This is a new soap. I just brought this back. And she was quite funny with it. Do you have anything like that, that you have like a little stash?
No, I've rid myself of all of that, honestly. I've convinced myself that if I need it, I could go get it. And if I hang on to too much, then I'm, you know, sort of like excluding something in my future that I'm not going to have because I'm hoarding all of this other stuff. So I'm a detacher, man. I get rid of it.
So and so there's no one particular thing that you hold on to. So with that being the case, then do you find yourself then obviously you're quick to throw things away. In that minimalist approach, do you find yourself shortchanged at times? Never.
Not a single time, because I've given myself
that's the concern that everybody has. It's like,
buy it if I need it and don't deprive myself of it. Okay. I made the agreement that get rid of it. And if you ever need it without feeling bad, go get the other one. And I'm telling you that it's not even close. The good feeling of having being able to, it used to drive me crazy when I knew I had something and couldn't find it. I knew I had it because I saved freaking everything and it took me days to come across that. I was like, it's not even worth hanging on to if you can't find it when you actually need it.
Fair enough. So as we're doing spring cleaning, like we started in the garage and, you know, we brushed out all the leaves and we pulled everything out and then we went through and we were like, well, I guess we don't need this and I guess we don't need that. And now you said Deb's a little different in that sense. So Sam and I are a little different. Sam would get rid of everything and I would keep everything. And so how do you and Deb decide what stays and what goes?
We have our own spaces where she can't impede on the minimalist space. So it would almost be like two different people lived in that house.
Oh, okay.
You could tell whose room was who.
Gotcha. You know, and it's interesting too, because I think some of that comes back to mentality. And we've talked about this with different things. And I'm not necessarily saying that's true of Deb or me, but I know like you know, growing up, we didn't get a ton of gifts at Christmas time. Mom and dad did what they could, but it was very minimal. And it was minimal because it had to be. They couldn't afford it. And so as I got older and then I had started having kids of my own, I'm like, I want them to have like
boom
Christmas. Yes. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she had insane Christmas, and her family was well off growing up. So she got bucket loads of, you know, presents, and I've seen the videos and just total chaos ripping, you know, paper open and all of that. And it's cool. So now she's like, well, the kids don't really need that. And I'm like, yeah, you can say that because you had that as a childhood, you know, kind of deal. We have that discussion back and forth, but realistically she's much more like, well, we don't need to go overboard with the Christmas stuff. We're just going to buy a bunch of junk that we're going to throw out. And she's not wrong.
Correct.
But on the other end, my mentality is like, yeah, but you know, I'm in a place where our kids can have an amazing Christmas. They don't need just three things under the tree. Like, I want them to open 27 presents and be like, look at all that I got, because I never got to do that as the mentality. How do you war against that a little bit? And where do you think your minimalist mentality comes from? Is it something in childhood like that, where you were just kind of like, I don't need it? Or is it something you've trained yourself to do?
It's been training, just because of my own annoyance with, you know, having too much stuff, not able to manage everything that you have. It's more for my psychology. I can be in the same room with someone who's like that. I just can't share spaces with it, because it would drive me, you know, insane. So it almost has to be, you have to broker a deal, you know, before you share space with it. So it's how to be treated. I don't impede on hers.
Sure.
Impede on mine, and we're golden.
Yeah. I don't think there's necessarily a right or a wrong. Right. It comes from that.
I'm kind of curious with my son being able to see both of it in full glory, which he will choose, because it's, you know, he's got
who does he tend to be more like? What do you
a little bit of both? Like, he's really able to adopt the best and, you know, of each of us. So
that's interesting. Yeah. It'll be neat to see how some of that's developed, because obviously some of it's DNA, it's built in,
right?
Some of it's nurtured, and then some of it's going to be life experience, especially these next, 7-8 years for him. The things that happen, the girl that breaks his heart, like all that stuff is going to mark him. Right. And it'll be interesting to see which way that pushes him on a number of things, not just the minimalist versus, clutter. I heard somebody say one time to me, you know, when I first came to Bridge of Hope, we cleaned closet after closet after closet and room. There was just stuff that had been piled up since, you know, 1960, whatever. And we just pitched stuff left and right. We did several work days, and they had a whole space of decorating stuff. And I talked to the gentleman who was over the decorating, and I in my head, I did this series called Hoarders. You remember the show back in the day?
Yes.
And I said, you know, a lot of this church space was like hoarders. Like, you guys have just kept stuff for the sake of keeping stuff you're never going to use again. And it was easy for me to come in and throw it out, because I didn't have any emotional attachment to it. Now, almost 9 years later, there's things I have emotional attachment. I'm like, why would we throw that out? It's been in that closet for 9 years. Like, you know, but coming in, I didn't have any of that emotional attachment. So it was easy for me to be like, that's stupid. Why are we keeping that? Let's chuck it. And I'll never forget, the guy did all the decorating. He looked at me. He was like, Pastor Doug, I know you think I'm a hoarder. I'm not a hoarder. I'm a pack rat. I know where everything is. And he was being a little tongue in cheek. And it was very organized, but I was just like, you know, we don't need all of this. And that was true across the board, even like Christmas decorations and stuff. And I was like, guys, like, you know, we had so much stuff, and some of it was broken, and it just got put back in the box and put in the corner, and nobody wanted to take it to the dumpster. And I find, you know, that this is an interesting parallel, and this is where we'll jump into, people development a little bit. I think it's a parallel for our lives, because a lot of times we let clutter come, emotional clutter, relational clutter that comes in, and we compartmentalize, we don't deal with it, we stuff it down, we move forward. Sometimes it takes a friend to pull that out, sometimes it takes a book, sometimes it takes counseling, to help declutter some stuff that's been piled up, and we're like, I haven't really dealt with that, or, you know, I've gotten used to it. It's like the old couch in the basement that everybody's like, couch is kind of gross, but you're like, I've had that couch since college, you know. And I know for myself, when I go through declutter phases. I think a couple episodes ago you were talking about going through a loss phase, yes, where you're just kind of consolidation phase, yep, is the word you used. And I think those are important emotionally, and I think those are important relationally. I think across the board, just like you do spring cleaning in your house to get rid of stuff that, hey, this is just taking up unnecessary space. There's some things in life that are taking up unnecessary emotional space, taking up unnecessary relational space, and it's good to evaluate that. But the longer stuff is in your life, the harder it is sometimes on an emotional level, relational level, social, whatever, financial, to say goodbye to those things because you grow attached. So that's where it's good to have people in your life. You can say, hey, I know you've been working with that for a while, but it's time to release it and let it go. Especially with big things. So how does Joe navigate, Joe, in that sense? It's one thing to talk about throwing out a bowling ball that's been in the closet for 10 years. But it's another thing to say, you know what? That relationship's run its course. That project's run its course. That, you know, that emotion that I, you know, the thing that I continue to fret about and stand in front of the mirror every night thinking like, oh, I don't want to deal with that and dread. So how does Joe navigate those things?
Well, see, I consider all ill health, right? Mm. People get unhealthy a million decisions back to back to back. So you don't get unhealthy in one deal.
Yep.
So I really hate when people hurry up and clean before they get company or do a spring cleaning.
Yeah.
I'm a nutrition guy. Okay. So, but the easiest way for me is if I set a rule set that I walk into a room and let's just say, okay, my car's a mess and I've got 1,000 things in there. Mm-hmm. Well, math says if I take 2 things out a day, then the car will be cleaned in 3 years. And as long as I don't make it worse, and I can always make it better over a long period of time if I have patience with myself and I mm-hmm. deprive myself of those chemicals. But what we talked about a couple shows ago, if I walk into a room and say, I got to get rid of stuff. So I'm going to pick up 2 things and I'm going to say, which would you rather keep? The one that's in the one that I say I would not rather keep, that's the one that gets ditched, because it's easier to make a decision about one single thing when compared to another mm-hmm. than look at a whole plate of stuff that you really want to keep.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not forcing you into a decision because there's a million of them.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good. You know, it's tough to be in a constant state of, you know, I kind of look at life in seasons. So, you know, you have some seasons, you know, you mentioned a consolidation season. You have some seasons where you're harvesting, you know, the work that you've put in. You've poured a lot of energy into the soil. You've put down nutrients. You've watered it. You've made sure it's gotten the right sunlight. Now it's producing fruit. And you're like, oh, I get to eat this. This is great.
Right.
Everybody loves the harvest season.
For sure.
But you have the winter season, you know, where you need to prune your trees and you need to sharpen your tools and you need to, you know, that fall winter season is important. Things have to die in order for the spring to come and things to live. So, you know, yeah, is there little prunings you can do in the harvest season? Sure. I find for myself that it kind of ebbs and flows. I'm not a attrition like that where, hey, I'm going to make 1 or 2. I see what you're saying. And I know you did this with your phone with apps.
Yeah.
I remember you posted a while ago. You're like, I'm going to delete however many apps a day that I don't use until I get down to so many apps. And that's what I'm going to do. And it's funny because, you know, you look and I'm like, man, I got like, you know, 300 apps. And I'm like, use 10 apps like a week. And, you know, 1 or 2 of those apps like, all right, yeah, that needs to be there for X or Y. But, you know, the vast majority of them you downloaded one time. I used to do this with games because everybody would get into, you know, certain games. And I would say to myself, you know what, I'm going to play this game for 1 week. I'll put it on my phone. I know I'm going to have some downtime here. And I would play that game for a week and then I would delete it at the end of the week. And I did that for a while. And then I found a game or two that has now stayed on my phone. And I've been feeling kind of convicted because it's been on my phone for a while. And one of the things, and I said this last show, that Israel does for me is I unplug and I don't use my phone as much. And I literally, Sam and I were sitting, she was doing a puzzle last night, and I'm flipping through my phone. I'm like, what am I doing? I didn't do this for 10 days. And I don't want to work on that puzzle. But, you know, I could be doing 19 other things, and here I am in mode playing this stupid game again. Right. And so, like, I got to a spot where I'm like, all right, I need to delete that game because it's robbing me of time where I could be doing other things. But I go through seasons with that. It's not every week. It's not every day. And sure, would it be easier if you did it that way? Absolutely. But I'm much more of a spring fall cleaning guy. I'm much more of, all right, this season's coming to a close. All right, I have to consolidate and do this now. I don't know. Does that make sense? I think a lot of people are that way.
I had to break myself of having those seasons that had so much guilt and shame. So whenever something gets real bad that you start noticing it, that's what I didn't really like. So I had to, like I said, I've deprived those chemicals. one of our first podcasts where when we said that there's going to be an amount of money that I said you can go out today and it would start to affect you emotionally.
Yeah.
So let's just say if you wanted to start exercising, I would say how many of something I should do? Could you just go and do one push-up and be like, I'm on my way? Like, how many push-ups would you have to do till your mind would say that I'm exercising?
Wow.
I can do one and then do two tomorrow and do the three next day. And my body's just like, yep, following this nice, quiet, subtle rules, right? I don't have to have absurd. I don't have to do 97 to make me convinced that I'm serious about this.
Well, and it's interesting because you use that same thing when we talked about investing and buying crypto.
Sure, 100%.
And I've done that. And it's been interesting because I've watched it go.
Right.
But I'm not like fretting because I've been buying all along. And so I've bought a little bit more in this dip because I'm like, it's going to go back up. Yeah.
Thought.
I'm like, if Bitcoin gets that much lower and this gets that much, I'm just going to buy a bunch. Because, yeah, it's got one way to go. You know what I mean? It can't go too much further down. I mean, I guess it could. But, you know, but looking at that and going, all right, I did that incrementally. So I didn't necessarily buy at the peak. I didn't necessarily buy at the bottom. I bought all along. And so it kind of gives you an average. And so, yeah, your gains might not be as much, but I'm not trying to get rich quick. I'm trying to learn how to play the game.
And you're taking those negative emotions away. You're not, correct. You don't feel those ups and downs so much. It's nice and solid.
My wife does.
Yeah, she might.
Why are we down? I'm like, look, the market, you know, I'm going to buy a little bit more. Trust me, it's going to come back up, you know? And but that same sort of thing, it gives you kind of incremental in that sense. The same thing's true. You know, what you do consistently over time becomes your habits and becomes your life. So, you know, it's finding those things. You know, people say to me all the time, like, how do you know the Bible so well? Well, like, I consistently read and digest and have for 30 years. Like, you know, I look at that and I, like, my parents, I can remember doing memory verses before we went to bed. Like, it was part of our life. So that stuff gets built in. And so it's not like I read the Bible cover to cover last year and all of a sudden it was all there. Like, it's just been consistent over time. And so those things get built up. It's the same thing. You know, people look at, you know, Jed at church and they're like, man, how did he get so jacked? Well, he's been lifting weights that way for 25 years. Like, yeah.
My favorite meme is the I ate the salad. I'm looking in the mirror for the magic right? salad to take
exactly.
effect. Yeah. Well, that's the mentality of you wait till something feels bad enough and then you go to the gym and then the gym, you know, you don't get the instant payoff and then you bail out because you didn't get.
So Sam ran her 5K while I was away and I watched her be so faithful and consistent, 5-something in the morning, go into the gym. And even if she just walked a mile or ran 2 miles or whatever, and she built and she built and she built and she built. And then ultimately she ran that 5K and then she came off that and was like, this was great. And she doesn't necessarily have another race that she's training for right now, but she's still getting up and doing 2 miles or a mile here, whatever. And what happened was over 6 months, she's built this habit and her body's wired for it. Now, sure. Can you get out of a habit? Absolutely. But she likes the way that, hey, I'm up before the kids. I get my exercise in, I feel better, all those things. And honestly, for me, it started to put me in a spot where I'm like, all right, she's like super active with this. I'm not super active. I started walking to get ready for Israel and I started doing I did the Stairmaster a few times at the gym and stuff because I knew I was going to do some hills and some steps. And I'm like, you know, I need to be able to do this. And I knew it was going to be 60 miles of walking. I knew it was going to be a lot. And so I did that for that. Now I've come home and she's still getting up and running. And I'm like, all right, I need to do it. But it almost inspires people when they watch that consistency. Cause you're like, man, you're so faithful that she gets people all the time that message her. I think she just had one yesterday on Instagram. She posts a picture of her breakfast and her run every day. And there are people all the time, friends from New Jersey, all across the country that have messaged her and like, you know, can you just move in with me for like 30 days and cook me breakfast and run with me because you do this so consistently and so faithfully. And it's been really inspiring to watch, but you're right. It's those incremental things. They pay out in the long run. And they make the little change 1 yard at a time, like we always talk about.
And if the good or bad is a sum of everything that you did and you warmed up to something, you could do something that's adding up to some good things. Why would you ever stop that thing? You know, when we were in our teens, I started my first car payment was $200 and some. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I'm going to save $200 plus every month for the rest of my life. And the longer a car would last, the bigger car, better car that I could get after that one. And the longer I made it last, the bigger car I got. But I've always invested the same about in a payment towards that car.
Wow.
Because it worked out mathematically.
Yeah, yeah. So you pay cash for your cars?
Well,
for the most part.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's a total Dave Ramsey move, you know, to pay cash for the car.
But once you develop that, I walk a mile if you can actually do it, and it improves the health, and there's good things on the other side, and you keep doing it.
Yeah.
If you have something like, you know, I gamble, and if you can connect that with really good things, keep doing it. If you can't, you know, stop doing those things. You're just assembling good things to equal, you know, good outcome.
No, that's good. And so with that kind of minimalist mentality, I know you said you don't feel like you're missing out. You feel like you keep yourself pruned, but you're always in a spot where I can go out and do that, or I can go out and get that. Are there any advantages to the other side of the aisle?
Yes, there is. I think there's some motivations that are a little bit easier because they're much more exciting when you can go feel like lots of fruit all at one time. My fruit's like a raisin every 30 seconds versus a, you know, a cornucopia of a Thanksgiving dinner is what you got to do. So you got to quiet yourself and desensitize yourself because the rewards are more often, but really smaller.
Interesting. So in on the other side where you're collecting things, to use that, that's probably a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
Where you're hoarding, where you're holding things to yourself, you're saying sometimes you get to eat a feast, but you're saying I'm eating every 30 seconds. You're eating once a week and you're eating a feast. And that feast feels good. You know, spikes your blood sugar, all that sort of stuff. Right. It sends the serotonin, all the levels that you need. And so people get addicted to those chemicals,
correct,
which is part of the reason why Joe hacks himself.
Deprive the chemicals. And then you can play your own game. I mean, think about those chemicals work against you when you eat like a big carb thing and you don't
nap
eat
time
for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it controls you. You almost have to go eat again because it's making you.
Yeah. That's totally wild. So then if somebody wants to break out and they're going, hey, you know, I'm hoarding stuff. I got clutter in my relational life. I got clutter in my house. I got clutter. And I find that it trends. Like when my car's clean and my house is clean, like I feel like I go through those seasons. I'm like, oh, everything's all spick and span. It feels nice. But if they're wanting to break out and they're saying, hey, I want to get rid of some stuff, what's step one from Joe?
You have two choices. And it's all your personality type. So if I were helping you, I'm going to assume you're the personality type that, you know, probably is being covered and, you know, and compressed by their load. I would do a spring cleaning, bring it back to zero, right? And then make a deal with yourself that, let's just say you have a nice clean counter and there's zero things on there. I want one thing that goes on there to really disrupt your brain. Right. Don't wait till there's 100. That one, like, put the effort into maintaining once you've got it back to zero. But if you're one of those people who lets it go and then gets, you know, ashamed and guilty because it got bad again.
Yeah.
You know, you get to start over next time. You know, it's no fun.
Does Joe have a junk drawer?
I do. Yeah, I do. Mine is electronics drawer. I one day I'm holding on to some really ancient artifacts from old technology. Like I have the original iPhone. The
Youngstown Studio Museum.
Yeah. I have a Walkman with the orange fuzzy thing.
Nice.
Like anything that's old, I put in that drawer, and every once in a while I want to be nostalgic, I'll pull something out of there, take pictures of it, and I put it back again. That's my junk drawer.
Yeah. But you don't have like a drawer with like, you know, pencils, a stick of gum, you know, paper clips and that, yeah, that sort of stuff. That's the typical junk drawer, 37 keys that you don't know what they're for.
Right.
All that. It's always amusing though, like when you have stuff like that, there's a certain familiarity and a comfort with it. You're like, you know, I might need that, you know, I can't get rid of it. And I find that to be true life-wise as well. For me, I think, you know, doing the spring cleaning is always good, but I tend to, and this has been a pattern for me, I tend to go in, I do the spring cleaning, I do the life cleaning, whatever, and then I start building back. And in some cases, I'm going to build back better, but I'll be here all week. not in that way. But, you know, I'm trying to, you know, you get back to zero and then eventually you're looking at it going, all right. And then you get to a spot and you're like, oh, I just built the same junk drawer with new stuff.
Right.
Or the same, you know, gotten the same relational clutter, gotten the same emotional clutter. And you really haven't fixed anything. You eliminated some things and gave yourself a reprieve for a little bit, but you didn't change anything about yourself, and you've rebuilt the same thing. And I think a lot of people find themselves in that category. And it's not until you get help from the outside that, in my opinion, that you really are able to tackle some of these giants, because sometimes you can't see.
Right.
You know, you're looking at your life and you're going, well, I think it's okay. And you don't realize, well, you're actually doing that for this reason. And it's one of the things that I get to do. I get to coach people through those things. But even for myself, like, I have to go seek those things out because I have blind spots. I have right. things that I can't see in my own
and,
life.
Well, most people are reacting from chemicals. And when you do that, bringing back to zero, you feel really good and it's really mm-hmm. high. But then even feeling good about that trails off and you forget yeah. that you like that feeling until you build it back up again.
Yeah. And it's kind of like when you start exercising, those first couple times at the gym, like, you're like, whoa, body's sore, but man, you feel great. All of that. And then you get in and then you're like, all right. A week after that first week, second week, your body's
you're not
like,
as in love with it as no. on day one.
And but the first couple of days, your body, like, you know, your pituitary gland, all of that is like, hello, thank yep. you. This is wonderful. And you got more energy and everything. But then you hit, and, you know, people talk about plateaus and stuff when you work out. The same thing happens
sure.
if you're cleaning out stuff relationally, like, oh, it feels good for a little bit. And then you start like, oh, maybe this will be different. And then you're like, oh, I'm following the same patterns again. And you have to do different things or you're always going to get what you always got. So it's great to do the clean out. It's great to be get back to zero. But then we have to do something different or you're just going to end up having to clean the same stuff out. I heard somebody say, you know, as a leader, there's nothing wrong with making mistakes. Just make a different mistake every day. And I love that kind of mentality because at the end of the day, like, there's nothing wrong with messing up. But if I'm repeating the same mistakes, I have a pattern. If I'm repeating, the same things, and I want a different result, then I have to go to somebody who's getting a different result and go, how do I do that? Because yeah. I keep cleaning and getting back to here. I keep going back to zero, but I want to build something different. And I keep rebuilding and having to tear down what I'm building. And that's frustrating.
Yeah. And it's confusing because if you took a military strategy. When you clear that ground, mm-hmm. you first have to make sure that you have the assets to be able to then, once it's cleared, to maintain it and not to give the ground up because you don't want to mm-hmm. clear it again for the second time.
Correct.
Because there's a big price to pay. So let's just say, you know, oh, I forgot. I couldn't find my keys. I spent a half hour looking for my keys. All right. Once you find them again, you have the choice now to never lose them again. If you lose them again, it was by choice because it was fresh in your head that you really didn't like being late for something with keys and you could have solved that problem, but you didn't. And you might be in that same spot again.
Get you an Apple AirTag, Joe.
Yeah.
I just ordered a couple
that's more solution.
Keys and stuff. I got them for my wallet.
Look
so
at
I don't,
that.
Because I lose my wallet, my keys. I don't. My wife leaves them in her purse, and then I'll be looking for them where they're supposed to be. And then she'll be like, oh, they're in my purse. I'm like, I love you, babe. I think as we step further into spring, you know, people are looking to do that. And if you're looking to help clean out your life, it's one of the things that Joe and I try and do on this podcast and with everybody that we meet is to really help people take inventory, take the right steps, do those 1 yard runs yeah. instead of the Hail Marys and learn to eat a raisin every 30 seconds instead of a cornucopia once a week.
Good stuff.
Boom.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we